The question is on the harvestability of the people in Nosalar, the population, as well as those working in the six ministries, as well as the 72 ministers, or 72, you know, 12 leaders of each of the six. I would imagine you'd have a mixture of different levels of evolution of souls there. I could imagine that the heads of each of the ministries, if there is one, are probably all harvestable, if not fourth or fifth density wanderers. There may be a couple who are harvestable in each of the ministries, or maybe all of them. I just don't know. You may have people in the population who are harvestable and not in the ministry, as well as people who are not harvestable, but they're in the ministry anyway. Probably not in the 72. They're perhaps all harvestable or near. And I would imagine they have loaners, people, souls on loan from fourth density, who come and go and may assist in some of the higher ministries. So it would be a spectrum, but in general, you probably would find the more harvestable in the higher ministries that are dealing with the higher dimensions, those two upper ones, and fewer harvestable people as workers in the ministries of the four lower levels. But of the 72 ministers of the six ministries, it's very reasonable that all of them are harvestable or near harvestable. And as part of their evolution, they decided to stay rather than go off to fourth density.
Right.
The question is, is the population of this astral city veiled in the same way as people in space-time, 3D space-time, physical? I think that this is a picture of what unveiling, what astral plane, 3D time space unveiling looks like. No, they're not veiled, but they're not Buddhas. So unveiling is not the same as complete and perfect enlightenment. Just like before in the Logoic creations without veil and 3D physical, they were not evolving. They were in third density, not in fifth or sixth. They're just third density evolved beings without a veil. Here you have 3D evolved beings, I think, in the astral city without a veil, aware of the game being reincarnation, successive higher dimensional evolution, divine order, divine plan, divine purpose, and the principles of life and soul progression. But despite that unveiling, where those truths are self-evident, They still have their distortions. And that's the very subtle matter of 3D time-space unveiled incarnation. I think they are unveiled on the astral plane. And yet, the persistence of distortions. Distortions persist even in the unveiled condition. And that's you know, that's a tough nut to crack, to really understand that. But distortions persist as consequences of, you know, karmic flow. The patterns of, you know, mind and speech and behavior during many incarnations persist onto the astral. They're not veiled as to metaphysical reality. They know they're not, you know, in the body, but they know they are. And so they know there's reincarnation. And they know there are higher dimensions. And they know there's God's plan, or there's a creator and purpose, and they got a lot of teaching there. Yet, they are still working through distortions, confused or harmful, unloving, unwise patterns in mind. And so, in the divine, the ministry of divine union, the highest, Lysias had said that it's those with the greatest degree of love and wisdom. Hey, hey, fourth and fifth chakra, activation, development, balance, that are there. And everybody else is still on their way to there, to that development of green-blue, which comes with great purification of mental distortions, grasping, aversion, and ignorance associated with lower chakra blockage. So they're unveiled, but still with much work to do.
Well, the thing is that the veiling may be somewhat binary, meaning in 3D space-time there's veiling, in 3D time-space there's not. However, there are also gradations of any logoic imposition of a veiling in any 3D world, so that the degree of there are degrees of veiling. The degree of veiling in this solar system, this planet's 3D space-time experience, is different than any other 3D planet in space-time as well. So the veil may be binary, or it's basically a very highly engineered degree of permeability between the conscious mind and the totality of selfhood or all other contents and resources of mind. That is of a particular fine permeability measurement in any one 3D space-time world. Out of body on the astral without any veil, theoretically, yet beings still have their mind. Their mind is not veiled, but the distortion patterns remain and are consequential, meaning they have consequence, like some beings are in hell or in the lower realms with certain states of mind and a certain community of other like-minded beings around them. Same with the astral city, same with where Dr. Louise's mother is, whether she's in a higher astral city or on a higher astral plane, which it seems to be. Likewise, she still has her own mental configuration of mental evolution, or configuration of mind, which is associated with her spiritual evolution, which allows and disallows. And so you can say that the condition of mind or distortions in mind are akin to logoic veiling, but not the same. And so higher levels of the astral are, I don't think, less, they're not necessarily less veiled, but the mind conditions are such that the being is less distorted, and therefore perception and awareness is greater. But not because there's a gradation of veiling in the astral, but there are gradations of obscuring distortions and mental patterns at the various levels of the astral. How's that?
Yes. Sort of a teaching by example, his helping, the Clarence helping the woman is akin to Dr. Louise learning how to help himself. And learning, yeah, as you're saying, that there's a gradation of outer works, outer occupational positions of work associated with the progression of inner purification, which is the purpose of doing the work. Right? The purpose of doing the work is the inner purification. And I think that it went a few ways. You can say that as she failed at the various positions in that she rejected them all, it may well have been that he gave her easier works or works that were fitting the nature of what she needed to develop, which was the basis, whose undevelopment was the basis of her rejection of that last position. So she gets the first one. It's on actually page 62, if you have the PDF open. Vigilance, first is she gets a position in the vigilance patrols of Ministry of Communication, struggling against malevolent entities. Basically, what, blocking their communications or their sending of signals to the astral city? Maybe. Then she wouldn't work with that because she, what, couldn't stand hearing them talking or what they were saying. He finds a place in the Brothers of Support, helping in a regenerative way, it seems, lower, evolved, more wounded, angry members of the Astral City, you know, like homeless shelter, public emergency room with the most angry and self-harming people. She couldn't then, you know, so he took her down from working with negative entities' communications to working with the bodies and personalities of strongly angry people. Then she couldn't accept that, so she went to the ward of mentally disturbed entities rather than the bodily level personality helping of the Brothers of Support, working with a certain difficult group. She went to the mental level of a similar group, where she's not dealing with squalor and swearing, but the heart of that being mental disturbance. Then she couldn't accept that, because they were perhaps less angry, but they were raving souls, scared her. Then he took her out of these positions, helping very wounded, angry, damaged body mind people to a desk job, like behind the desk or the computer in the laboratory, with Investigation and Research Department of Ministry of Education. And then she couldn't handle that because of, she read, atmosphere, strange fluids, exhausting experiments, and harsh supervisors. So she couldn't, even though there was no filth and squalor and mental sickness, raving, and all of that dirtiness, ugly, there was all the stuff she'd had to learn that she didn't know. And the hard work schedule and the exacting demands of the supervisors, and she rejected that too. And at that point, he basically said, I'm not going to give you any more work, but I'll give you a lesson. And then he gave her the lessons associated with what he called two inseparable companions, service and humility. The importance of selfless giving, generosity, dana, which is service, and humility, which means not putting oneself first, or being willing to sacrifice for other, moving out of self-centeredness, a willingness to learn, or understand that I've got a long way to go, I'm not finished, I'm imperfected, or I'm imperfect, I have more work to do that would be good for me, and that may be involved in following what others tell me they think I ought to do for me, or do that in the long run is good for me, and particularly the importance of obtaining the collaboration of benefactors, friends, and servants, really becoming lovable, becoming worthy of others' generosity to her. And so you get what you give. The more you give, the more you'll get. The less you give, the less you'll get. The more you care, the more we'll care about you. That lesson. And the importance of obeying, following your betters, your superiors, in the sense of evolution. They're not ontologically better, but he's more well, you know, Clarence is more developed than the woman. And he's her better, quote, in the sense of having further purified himself, and he's in a happier state of mind as well, you say. That's something to look at. But she hadn't, you know, he said, no average administrator can be useful to his loved ones if he's not yet learned how to obey and serve worthily. So obeying and serving, which really means, again, to see that there are some people that know better than me, they're better off than me, they've done the work that I have to do, they've done better and more than I. And I can learn from them, and maybe I should, you know, follow sometimes. It's okay to follow. And that is so-called humility. And then he basically said, okay, now, you know, go off and think about it, and that's that. But there's definitely a progressive teaching model in evidence there. Yeah, it's certainly a reformed view on the whole dynamic of superior, inferior, leader, follower, teacher, student, the power. Power gradient relationship, or power gradients, or power inequality, or the whole notion of correct action in relation to a power dynamic in a relationship, power dynamic based relation, right action. And yes, you know, the Buddha Gautama was the supreme authority in the Sangha, and he had final say on everything. Is that a service to self hierarchy? No. Presumably, he's more evolved than on the same path that we're all on. And that's, you know, where you get all this trouble with, you know, do what thou will and unbridled or total of freedom, the modern views on freedom and individualism and individuality and right action associated with do whatever you want, doesn't take into account the reality that there is a single path of evolution we're all on. There is a single spectrum of development of our functions that we're all involved in, meaning the clearance of the lower triad, the development of the qualities of, you know, moral, intellectual, and spiritual qualities, 4, 5, 6. The development, that 7-ray development, is the same for all of us. The path through the dimensions is the same for all of us. The laws of karma are the same for all of us. The lessons to be learned are the same for all of us, and some people are further along in aspects of that, and further along on that general universal path, and it behooves us to know that and listen to them and obey or follow, with the idea that they really may well or do know better than us, and if we follow, we'll be helping ourselves. And that's not very popular these days, you know? The negatives are teaching rebellion to God. Definitely. Yeah. There's nothing, you know, hierarchy isn't the problem. It's lacking recognition of universal principles, deficient understanding of cosmic purpose, life purpose, and the nature of our being and the creation that we're living in. And so a lack of love and a lack of honesty and a lack of wisdom and a lack of understanding, that's the problem. Hierarchy is inevitable. Meaning, there are levels of development, and there is that which we all need to develop. And when that's known, then the whole notion of submission to authority is reframed, because there's love-based authority and there's negative service to self authority. And, you know, there are a lot of liars who say, "I'm benevolent," but they're controlling and manipulative. And there are others who don't say anything, but actually we can learn a lot from them, and they say nothing. They're just kindly or clear, but they don't push themselves to teach or you know, intervene. So, all right. So thank you very much. Always interesting questions and discussion. Take good care of yourselves. See you next time, and good night.